99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Hello and a very beautiful good afternoon to you. My name's Joyce. Welcome to the sunny side. The sun rises here. Yeah, it does. Pleasure being here again. Glad it's another beautiful day, and we'll take our chances with it, and in it we'll do all that we can, all that is possible within human will. And yeah, and if it's radio, we talk on the sunny side on Nigeria Info. So welcome, friends, and welcome to the conversation today. First off, I just heard that Nigerian singer David O has lost his son. And it's, I don't know how to feel about it. I even have something else to worry about, and I thought I was worrying about something else, which pretty much, because it didn't go through today, chances are I would have to. So basically, I had an exam this morning and some glitch happened, and it's not, well, at least I'm done with it, but not done in a sense that I wouldn't repeat it again next year. So what that means is I couldn't finalize today, and time, I just ran out of time, right? And I have to do it next year, and I feel very out of sorts, one, and I'm really trying to figure out whether I'm aching, broken, hurting, or all of the above, because I really don't want to do it again, but chances are I might do it again. And all right, so I guess I have to admit in your hearing that, well, I guess this is life, right? And if you have to do it again, then you must do it again. So yeah, I was trying to be bothered about that when someone said to me at 12 o'clock, have you heard that David lost his son? And I said, no. And no, it's not. And she said, no, he did. And I'm like, no. And then she tells me a little story as to the unfolding of the news. So until she told me, I had not been on the internet. Well, I think this is to say that death happens, and maybe there is a way we're supposed to approach death. And maybe one way that we get to, and not if it's a child, because you really don't even know what to do with yourself when you lose a child. So I'm just even referencing death on a very broad scale. It's like death will come, and maybe we would not know what to do with it. So maybe there is a way to approach it, because when death comes, it's not the time where you do something with it. Maybe it is how we approach it, and maybe approach might mean what has happened before death came, because only when we're able to establish what might have happened are we able to determine whether death wins or whether you win. And sometimes you don't want to lose a father, but he has to go. And sometimes you have a mother you wish would live forever, and then she has to go. And you're left in a world where the first people you trusted and probably the people you trust the most leave you, in this world where you look around you and it's hard to even trust again, or it's hard for someone to love you like they loved you. It's hard for life to even remain the same. It's like you had a life with your parents and life happens to you, and you must leave the life you have always known for a life that you will now know. And it's not even easy, but you must do that with courage and with faith and with everything inside of you, right? And then you hope you give it everything so that as they left, when death comes for you, you equally be ready to leave. I mean, it's death, and it's so usually when people say that they've lost someone, I think one will just ask how, what happened. But usually for me, I don't have a reaction, and sorry is not the response. I just, until I lost my mom, yeah, I didn't know. But the moment I lost my mom, I realized somewhere in all of that is sorry is not useful. And I know you mean it well, but maybe, yeah, I just noticed that sorry is not useful. It almost feels inappropriate to say sorry. but it's not inappropriate. It's just, I just realized I might as well just do without it, because is she coming back? So it means I have to face this. And it's like, yes, you have to face it. It's like, okay, then how do you face death? And I lost my mom. You might have lost someone. David lost a son. And David spoke, I think I read one time him speaking of his mom, and he lost his mom to cancer, something like that. Now he's lost a son. It's interesting because he's young himself and he must deal with death, but on a different level. And so it's not just losing your son. It's probably aching from the consequences that brought about the death of your son. And you wonder whether there's anything you could have done better or done different. I cannot speak about the death. There's nothing to say. for me. I have absolutely nothing to say about the death of his son. I wish he would find the courage to bear the loss. And even more importantly, I hope he learns how to approach death, because maybe what death is to draw each and every one of us to a moment. It draws us to a moment where we need to be sober. And it's like you have to even probably seize that moment to look death in the eye, or look death. Think about it in a manner as though you can prepare yourself for when eventuality occurs. I think that there's something about death that requires us to be sober and to think about life, and then also think about death, because it's a guarantee on a certain level. It's like, well, death will happen the way we all understand death. And maybe what you might find is death is not the end. Maybe it means something else. Maybe death is a window to, or a door somewhere else. And it's like, do I qualify? And how does somewhere, what kind of somewhere else? It's like, you get what I mean when I say we have to be sober and to understand death and to prepare for it. So in the event where death is transition from one realm into another, then you make yourself worthy of the other realm. Something like that. You make yourself worthy of it. When you lose a child, it's not, I don't know that there's anything you can do besides burn in pain. I don't know. Like, you even lose a loved one that's even grown and mature, and you lose them. It's hard sometimes. I think, for many people, it takes them a while to recover from the loss or from the pain. The only aspect of this David O story I can talk about today, which I would love to talk about first hour, is the loss. His foster brother says something. The foster brother makes a post on social media and says, "The revelation was taken for granted. God, we are sorry." And that's all he says. So I am assuming that there was something, and the thing, according to the brother, is a revelation. Someone saw something was about to happen, and somehow someone or a bunch of people took that revelation for granted. I mean, for the death to occur and for someone to admit that there was a revelation that was taken for granted, it begs a conversation to say, well, first of all, what's the revelation and how did you take it for granted? I don't know that there's a better lesson to learn from, I mean, for them than that. And so given that, I can only extend my condolences. I thought I would be in conversation with you about that. A revelation about something about to happen. So our first hour, we'll talk about revelations and what you might have seen. Many of you have the gift to dream. Many of you have been told about something that someone saw about you. Many of you have had to go look for someone to see something about you, whether you go to the house of the witch who reads a card or reads your palm. Some of you go to a spiritual something somewhere to say, tell me about my future and what I must do. Or some of you even say, look, you have powers, I want something, so go into the realm, the dark or the light, and extract the possibility of success, money, fame, power, glory, whatever. It doesn't even have to be mine, but just give me something, so no matter how short my days be, let it be glorious, and I'll pay the price whenever I get there. It's like, so I think that some people even have the ability to dream and don't even take it seriously. I know I've, on a passive level, heard some people say, oh, they dream, but they don't care for the detail. They don't take it seriously. Many people, maybe not many, but a handful of people on the Sony side have said to me, oh, it's just a dream. And so there's something about it's just a dream that, I mean, one is tempted to ignore, or maybe one is probably going to have to probe to find whether it's ordinary or whether that is probably the most information that one would need at a time, at a set time. So we'll speak about that our first hour. Second hour, we're going to talk about the pressure to be married. That's on our divorce series, and talk about the possibility that, the possibility of people being pressured, what kind of pressure, and who is laying or mounting the pressure. Today on the show at 2:30, we believe that his story will also feature on the show today. And so it's packed, if you believe me. Packed. Promises to be fun. And so on the sunny side, Open Thought Tuesday, my name's Joyce. Welcome to Nigeria Info. We're 99.3.
You are listening to Open Thought. and thought on The Sunny Side with Joyce. Let's talk.
Death can be the end for some, and for others, death might be the beginning. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. My name's Joyce. Let's talk about, well, when we cannot speak on that story. It's necessary that I reiterate that. We can't speak on that death because there's really nothing to say. And one, again, is still a moving story. There's nobody to blame just yet, and we don't live with them, so we'll not make up theories about what could have happened. What we can do, however, is speak on the fact that revelations come to some people. Some other people seek it out, but have you had a revelation? Does it work for you? Has it ever worked for you? Did you obey? Did you disobey? What happened when you disobeyed? What happened when you obeyed? And let's talk about the fact that sometimes your revelations have absolutely no force. Yeah. No impetus, no will, doesn't achieve anything. Let's talk about the fact that you might be able to see the future, but you do nothing with that opportunity. Good afternoon to you. You're on The Sunny Side. My name's Joyce. What's your name?
Finally, I get to talk to you on radio. My name is Shagun.
It's good to have you here, Shagun. Thank you very much for calling me.
Yeah, so it's so sad for Davido. Whatever, like you said, we're not talking about it. I'm so sad. So it's such a sad story. But going to what you just talked about, you know, some like 2 months ago, it happened that I was at work. You know, I had some days, you know, to spend at work. I was rounding up my shift, you know, and something came up to my mind that on the day I might be leaving work, that I should, you know, it just came like that on that day I'll be leaving for work, I might have to support my teammates in some kind of, you know, like working in an engineering firm, you know. So okay. It came like I was going to support my team in doing some job, you know. And I felt, okay, it's just normal now, whatever happens, you know. But it was supposed to be like, oh, a prayer point. Oh, let me pray to avert whatever is coming up because I don't know. Joyce, believe you me, 2 days later, on that final day, I was supposed to close like at 12 midnight. But I decided to just stay with them, gist with them. By 4 a.m., there was a very serious thing that happened that made me even work like 30 minutes to 1 hour overtime. You know, so things like this, we shouldn't take for granted. Whenever you either some people are blessed with the gifts, you know, to see, and then they tell you, or you might maybe when you're meditating or you're praying.
So yours wasn't a dream. You just had a feeling. You had some intuition.
No, it wasn't a dream. Yeah. It was just like I got into a little trance or something. I don't know how it came, but that message came to me somehow.
Okay.
So all I needed to do was probably like pray and then maybe whatever it is, if it's something that one could have seen to avert what eventually happened.
Thank
it's just
you.
That we're able to arrest the situation. It didn't escalate.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. But
all right.
Things like this, you know, even in just normal life, when you get messages like this or mess either from people, your mind, your thoughts or whatever, it's good to take a little time, pray, and then maybe walk towards whatever message you have seen.
You
might get good results at the end of the day.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate. Thank you. Some people do not believe. So let's find out if you don't believe, but maybe someone has told you something about something. Hello, Nigeria Info. You're on The Sunny Side. My name's Joyce. What's your name?
I'm Jerry.
Good afternoon. Speak up. Tell us your name. Go ahead.
I'm Jerry.
Go ahead.
So I saw a revelation that is just as my revelation child, but I saw Nigeria 2023. You were fighting war. Hello?
I can hear you. When did you see the vision?
It was last month. The vision just come. In 2023, there was no election and there was fighting all over the place.
So what did you do after you saw that?
I just prayed.
Okay.
Just prayed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling The Sunny Side. So certainly this is open to people who believe, people who don't believe. So apparently this is even something that runs across all religions, all traditions, all cultures. Muslim, Christian, non-Christian, atheist, agnostic, mystic. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the ability to pull the veil back to see into the world yonder. The Sunny Side. My name's Joyce. Good afternoon to you. Welcome to Open Thought Tuesday.
Hello, Joyce.
Afternoon to you. Thank you for calling. Tell us your name.
Good afternoon. My name is Chia Yangwa.
Go ahead.
This thing it was so sad for this the loss of the video song. Very, very sad. Unfortunate incident. So this death is just like it's inevitable. And the way I see it, it happens, it's like a house is being marked. Once a house is marked, it will be demolished. So when if it's not marked, those ones will not be demolished. And it comes with time. When the time reaches for somebody to die, the person must die. And if it's not your time, I don't think the person will die. Because it happened to me when I was writing my first semester exam, first year. So, are you there?
I'm listening.
Okay. I enter. I boarded a
You have 1 minute.
A car. Okay. That's about going to a car. So when I entered that motor, the motor, as everybody was just waiting, I just came down to get a handkerchief. Somebody displaced me. So when I come back, I was telling the person, I'm the one here. We are dragging the seat and I leave it. I enter another motor. So by the time we reach that motor somersaulted in that motor that I was supposed to enter. And that man that displaced me was the only person that died.
Wow.
Understand?
Okay.
Uh-huh. So it's like maybe my time has not reached.
Okay. All right.
That's how I see it.
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate we're off on a break. We'll be right back on Sunny Side. We're talking about premonitions, revelations, visions, intuitions, divine knowledge. I guess they probably would fit into knowledge, but how much of it is divine, we don't know. But have you had anything in that line? It's not a school of thought, it's a line. Off on a break, we'll be right back. When we come back, yeah, we're talking about death and maybe not death in specific, not death specifically, but anything around the future ahead. We'll be right back. The Sunny Side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. I have a message here. It's on WhatsApp. I'm going to quickly take the first. He says, for me, I don't dream at all. Like when people go to sleep and dream about something, I don't. But if I eventually have a dream, it definitely comes to pass, no matter what I dream about. But the weird thing about my dreams is when I tell people about what I dreamt of, it's not going to happen. I once made a video of me after a dream saying what's going to happen. When it happened, I showed my friend and family. Everyone was shocked. It came to pass 3 months later, and I had to go bring out the video I recorded that night. And this one says, Joyce, I had to kill the bad gift. Huh? Let's read the message. He says it's a bad gift. He says, it gets scary sometimes. I see things before they happen, especially when people are going to die. It hurts because I couldn't do anything about it. I prayed and prayed, but they keep going. So I started living the opposite lifestyle to annoy whatever spirit that's given me the information. I still have revelation, but not like before. We're due for a break in about a minute and a half, and I think I'd like to speak on this one. So here, you call it a bad gift, and then you say you had to start living the opposite lifestyle. So I think you've done two things wrong. Yeah, you are living an opposite lifestyle. Now, that's too much a price to pay for something you don't want. And so that can be akin to a form of rebellion. And then God alone knows what the cost of the opposite. I mean, you even admit that it's opposite, right? So there is a consequence for it being opposite, and you don't even have a clue as to the weight of the consequence of going in an opposite direction. And then the other part where you say it's bad. So with that sort of definition or characterization, you create a problem. I think that's how I'd rather put it. You create a problem. So you have a gift that you must understand. And from your inability to understand it, a lack of being able to understand it, this is what I think what the Igbo say. You give a dog a bad name so you can kill it. And That's probably bigger than the other one of going in the opposite direction. I think they're like two big problems, but this one even sounds like it's a, this can be akin to blindness, like deliberate being deliberately blind to call it bad just because you don't understand it. We're off on a break. We'll be right back. My name's Joyce. When we come back, the convicts. We're Nigeria Info. The Sunny Side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. And yeah, let's talk. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
To you. Turn up the volume of your radios.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for calling.
Your introduction, you make me so bow. Anybody where dead never enter, anybody know what you talk about. I'm very sorry for that guy that remember the orphan last year, bringing it in bad day. One of my road mother. If you do, I'm very, very sorry. But we have to move on. Sister, I had the revelation from Luwari, 1998. I did not tell my mom until my father had to leave me on my lap. So that means care center. 5th of June, 9:30 p.m. They went to Nigeria 5-1 before June 9 World Cup in France. I had the revelation again. One man and his wife were fighting like a Van der Hellefield. The man carried 2x4, knocking wife. But he later paid. Yes, he later paid the consequences. I had a revelation again. One of my taxmen was fighting with my brother. I told him. It later happened. The mother of the revelation is the one against me. I had a revelation. I was gathered in the pitch. I collected the 5-1 competition ball, like a Barua. They beat me, so I called the wrong. They called me and said, hola, bro. Hola, hola, hola. In that time, I said, which kind of revelation is this? Like revelation, they go inside. Sister, there is a report. If you they move, or if they drive, if somebody knock you from back and they move, please go and send your car. People are kidnapping somebody now. They are intentionally hitting your car from back. If you come out, they feel kidnap the person. That is what is in vogue now.
All
so
right.
The day when
Thank
you want
you.
To buy goods for us for Christmas, if anybody knock you from back, auntie, no, Jehu Soke, Karin, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Hi. Afternoon to you. The volume of your radio set. Thank you for calling.
You're calling from Madagascar.
Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah. Joy, the post of my heart goes to David and the family. Yeah, revelation is rare because nothing happened to me last.
Pardon me.
Year.
Did you say it's rare?
I mean, revelation.
Turn off your radio, first of all. And did you say it's rare?
I switch it off.
Oh, thank you. Did you say it's rare?
Yeah, revelation is there because it happened to me.
Okay.
My immediate senior brother, my immediate elder brother. February, there was a revelation from church because we lost my dad in 2020. So after the burial of my dad, a revelation came that the next person would be that my elder brother, that he will not pass February 2021. They told our most elderly brother this thing in the church that you need to do something. And let my brother must contribute his money for the thing to be effective. This my elder brother did not reveal this thing to us. Could you believe that my brother died February 2021 because he's in two buildings. He went to the site. Maybe he came down from his vehicle. He fell down and died. He can't complain of anything. I lost my immediate elder brother. So revelation is fair. But
okay.
I want to say something, please. So our listeners contribute. Because sometimes when I dream, sometimes it came to reality. Like some days ago, I was in a dream. Police was after me. I managed to escape. I went to work. I had issue with my manager. And he said, because I was offended. So as I'm sleeping at my home, so today again, I was in a dream because I know that there was something that was bothering me. So inside that dream again, police was after me. So I went inside the room. That room, I hide there. I said they have left. So I came out again. They saw me. They were after me. So I was, we are three in number. So we are running until we entered a kind of wilderness. So when we ran inside that place, we saw two men standing. So that two men standing, they used chain and chain to person. So they wanted to hold me. I shouted at big, saying, no, don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me. They left me. So now the two guys, they turned them and tied them on a particular pole there. So at a point, I woke up. So since then, I have been trying to, you know, wrap my head around it. I can't even understand. I need to contribute.
What do you do when you dream?
Sorry?
What do you do about your visions?
Yeah, I pray over it. I just pray that any devil incarnate, any whatever I'm going through, since I've not been changed, I've got them behind the list.
And so what do you want people to tell you?
Well, I'm saying, if they can interpret the dream.
Are you joking? What is difficult about this thing you just said? I mean, to me...
You know why? Why I say this thing now? Because I stopped going to all these so-called passports when I went to one. That one told me that my immediate brother is the one that is kidding me. Instantly, I told him it's a lie. So since that day, I stopped going to men of God.
So, what do you want? Yes. Interpretation. It's clear. It's rather succinct, actually.
Okay.
You understand it. You don't need clarity.
Okay.
No, don't you understand it?
I understand it, but I still want other listeners to, you know, to say something about
it. To tell you what you already know. Okay. In three
Thank
hours.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Thank you. Look, as much as I would love to give time to people to tell you what you already know, I don't even have enough time to accommodate that. I'm satisfied with the fact that you know, and then you do what you can about what you know. There is nothing that anybody will tell you that you do not already know. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Hello, welcome to the show. The volume of your radio set.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joy.
Thank you very much for calling. Tell us your name. You can go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Paul, and I'm calling from Egweda.
Thank you for calling.
Joy, I want to engage you in this discussion in a more educational, defining way. I want to bring out 3 points. Number one, defining who God is, G-O-D. Number two, what is revelation? And number three, the sources of revelation. It is on this basis that one would be able to say that whatever he or she dreamt of was divinely inspired or not. So,
first and foremost, okay.
What is revelation? Revelation is the unveiling of a hidden thing that will happen or had happened. It might be in the past or the future. So, what are the possible sources of revelation? One, it could be divine. Two, it could be diabolic. Powers that are not divine can inspire revelations through dreams. Two, powers that is divine could also inspire revelation. Then finally, how can we define God?
God is not
and
a subject.
This is the area I want
you. Pardon me. God is not the subject today. One. Two. I asked a question and you're not giving me an answer to the question that I asked. I do not know whether your commentary is going to land to an answer to the question that I asked.
Yeah, revelation is real. That's the question. Revelation is real.
Have you
but
had
we must know
any?
The source of revelation.
It doesn't quite appear that people have asked me. I'm not asking the question of the source, and I think I can entertain that because you made a solid point. But it has to have bearing on the conversation, and the source is not the...
Okay.
The
okay, yeah, revelation is real.
Yeah.
Dreams are real.
I think what you can do, however, is to speak on what it might be if, say, the source were to be dark or sinister. You can speak on what you think a person should do, but what if their roots are also sinister, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what does a person do if one witch is trying to run another witch over?
Okay, yeah. If one is the type that normally have revelations or dreams, and then it comes to pass, the moment you have such thing, then what you need to do is to tackle it spiritually.
Okay.
And the spiritual basis of tackling it can be in different ways. You can engage yourself into fasting. You can engage yourself into prayer. There are some prayers you do without adding fasting to it. So the two things can be added together to tackle it.
But these are for people who are probably of what belief? Because apparently, you know, radio, we're speaking to people of different beliefs, different persuasions, different spiritual backgrounds.
Good. Okay, that means implication of your statement is that there are people who do not believe in fasting and prayer, right?
Of course now. Even people who don't even believe in the dream that their own eyes saw.
Then the person will live to face the consequences of the outcome of the revelation.
Okay. Well, that went well. Thank you.
Thank you
very much for calling. So, this is interesting on different fronts. One, some people believe, some do not believe. And then those who believe, some do not know what to do with it. Some will think they know what to do with this. Others understand exactly what to do with it. On the other hand, as there are visions, and that's exactly what I said earlier on, like visions are cut across tribes, tongues, creeds, religions, cultures, time. It's always been a thing. And basically, I think a layman way of putting it is your ability to pull back a veil and to see what lies yonder. And that is something that some afars can do, some pastors can do, some pastors' wives can do, some afar wives, some traditionalists do it, some ritualists do it, some commoners, some common people without office title so it's a gift that's given to people. And whether you're religious or irreligious, some people are full aware of that capacity. So I'm talking now to everyone, whether you have it, do not have it, believe it, do not believe it, had it, have it, but there's a method by which you go about it. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Christian or Muslim. It might be killing of chicken and giving Quran. The people who do sacrifices to turn something back. I know that there are those people who appease the gods so that the gods will leave them or fight someone. You know what you do now. Let's talk. Make it back. Hi, Nigeria Info. You are on the sunny side.
Hello.
Turn off the volume of your radio set.
Hello.
Turn off the volume of your radio set.
I have already done that. Good afternoon, Joy.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for calling. Tell us your name. You can go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Gideon.
All right.
I'm calling from Amuwo. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29 that the secret things of God belongs to him, and he reveals it to those of his children who are close to him. So what am I saying? God is a loving God. So anything that has to do with our life or with the life of his children, he will always reveal it, either in dream, in vision, in trance, in whichever way one can say this is the best way
understand
or whatever. So some people take it for granted. Why some people take it seriously? Then those who take it for granted, they always regret. Or sometimes they will not even live to regret. They will not even live to see the outcome. But those who will always take it seriously and say, this is what God has revealed. Holy Spirit, help me, and either pray or fast or whatever, go to their spiritual father or whatever to pray to sort it out. At least there will be a remedy.
Okay.
So that is on that. Like the young man that dreamt of police, always having police arresting him, always having police, seeing police. That is a witchcraft. There is an evil power contending against him. There is a witchcraft using force or forces working against him. He said as he saw police, the next day he went to the office, he saw their boss or whatever started. That is witchcraft manipulation. So he will be praying against every witchcraft manipulating power or forces working against him, working against his life or destiny. So right. Anybody that tells you that revelation is not real or trance or vision is not real, that the person is a lie. According to Deuteronomy 29:29, the revelation is real.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate. The Sunny Side, good afternoon to you. How are you? Hello?
Hello, guys. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for calling. Good afternoon. Tell us your name. You can go ahead.
Okay, my name is Nancy from Banana Island.
All right.
Guys, I believe in you. It was last night. I found that there is one man that I did business with since more than 5 years. And I was telling my sister in the morning, I said, I think that this man sent my money to me. Before I check my account, I see the money. Honestly, this morning. So I believe in him. And there is a time, sometime last year, I dreamed that CLC secret my account and it comes back.
So
honestly. And it comes to pass. But the only thing is that I don't believe in going to my pastor, because pastor has taken advantage of me before. I don't believe to go to pastor and pray for me. Every kind of thing that I dream, I pray by myself in my house.
All right.
So I don't go to pastor.
Well, thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate. Hey, hi. How are you? Good afternoon to you.
Yes, yes. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah. You're a good friend from VA. Hello, guys.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Visions and dreams. They are real.
Do you have any? Do you have any?
2007, to be specific. God told me clearly about the future problem of Nigeria.
Wow.
Which are the politicians.
Has he told you anything about yourself?
Yes, I'm coming.
No, hold on. No, I'm more curious. Every time you call, you have something to say about politics, and I get it. But I doubt that God would be more interested in the politics than he would be about your life. So
You know why? God is interested in the politics, because the government of the world is...
I get it. I would like to hear a story. No, I think you're making this repetitive in a manner that all your contributions are one problem.
Now, my own case. One just happened recently. In that very thing, I saw myself, and I was told about one particular issue that about to happen to me. So
okay.
I woke up, I prayed. And actually, I got a sign.
You got a sign?
Yes, I got a sign.
Oh, okay. Okay. So good sign, bad sign?
Anybody that plays with vision or dream plays with his or her life. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for calling the Sunny Side. Hello. Good afternoon to you. How are you? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, Joyce.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name. You can go ahead.
This is Mr. Frank. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for calling.
You see, this dream, intuition, revelation of it. We have discussed this thing before.
All right, then. Maybe you
should. When I talked about that intuition that is too slow or is too silent, then you ask me one question. Is it that the thing is too silent or that we are too noisy? I don't know if you remember.
I doubt I do.
Then the thing is that stubbornness as well is the major problem that fights intuition and revelation and dreams. Stubbornness. We are stubborn.
Stubborn or arrogant?
Yes.
Think
because
about it.
God
stubborn or arrogant?
Reveal all these things to us. According to how that my brother said it, that the secret things will be revealed. We will not take it seriously. Me, personally, 2016, I dreamt of how I have an accident and I saw myself rolling inside the bus. And when this bus had an accident and the thing was somersaulting like as if it was in a American movie. I said, how can this thing happen in the real life? I didn't pray. No, then, I didn't pray. I just feel like it's just like all those night dreams. The following morning, it happened. I was coming back from Mena. That day, going to Onitsha. Coming out from Oabo. On getting to Umunede, a tire hammer. Why? Trying to control the motor, the back will hammer. Look at me, stroll. If you see me, that if somebody tells you that some human being come out from that pool, you will not believe. It was after like 2 months that that thing comes to me back. Say, did I remember that prayer, that revelation? It happens like this two times. I couldn't have been here today. Another one was in the midnight when we was turning back then, when I was on the road. Came back to Lagos, turning, trying to turn back to go back to east that night. We get into the near Ovie River. We off flight because 4 days I'm drove back. My tire gone out of track. Motor started some assault. And I was alone inside that bus for more than five times. And I didn't pray when this revelation comes. This revelation comes 2 days before that day. And I know it was clear to me. I couldn't do anything about it. So ever since then, once anything came now, I'll just go, even if it's midnight, I'll go down on my knees and go, call God to tell me exactly what it is. Okay. If it's a bad one, I will start counseling. If it's a good one, I will claim it.
Okay.
But doubting it now, I will not, because it has happened to me. That is why I want to agree with that man that was giving you some series of this thing. The last word he said that if you did not believe, you face the consequences. So I didn't blame the people that doesn't believe, because who know God, no. But if you go there, if it happens to you, my brother, when next the dream or your intuition will tell you something, you take it serious.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're on The Sunny Side. My name's Joyce.
You're listening to Open Thought on The Sunny Side with Joyce. Let's talk.
The Sunny Side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to Open Thought Tuesday. And out of curiosity, what faith is it that practices the praying over money and giving it to beggars? So we have a message here from someone who says, police are evil witches chasing someone, of course, in the vision. And those people with rope want to hinder his destiny. Let him pray over money and give it to beggars. Okay, I'll find out. You're on The Sunny Side, where you find out stuff. My name is Joyce. I have a message here from a brother who sent in a message earlier on. The brother who said that he categorized his gift of visions as bad because he would see the time people would die, and then he didn't know what to do with it, and so he called it bad. So maybe he even has a point. And here's something else he says. Joyce, I've had people call me names, witch, bad names, and the rest, when I tell them things to happen, and it happens the exact way I predicted. The reason I refer to it as a bad gift, it hurts because I saw my mom's death before it happened. Okay, so you see, a knife is dangerous, but it's not dangerous. It's not as dangerous as when you see the knife by itself, you say, well, that's a dangerous tool, right? But really what gives its spirit is the hand holding the knife. I mean, the truth doesn't even hurt. It's probably maybe how you use it. A gun would not hurt. Well, the truth doesn't hurt, except you've been living a lie and you like, and so when they throw the truth at you and you say, oh, the truth hurts, the truth doesn't hurt. It's ignorance and lies that hurt. So when you don't know how to use something, you can readily call it a bad name. If I believe you're... Well, I think the philosophers of old said something like, the man who has the gift of vision kind of lives twice, because you first live it in your vision and then you now live it in reality. You say you saw your mom's vision. Interestingly, I'm the one who sees vision the most in my house. And I remember my sister would call me Josephina. One morning I woke up and I told my parents, oh, I had a dream. And my sister just shouted, Josephina. And it was so funny because everybody started laughing. And, well, you can't help yourself, can you? I can't deny myself. And I hope you don't get to deny yourself. And maybe what you're doing is denying what you really are, as against learning who you are and then learning how to use it. It would be better if you find out what you're good at and then you learn how to use it. And you don't say because someone calls you a name and you don't want them to call you that name, then you give up what you are. I've been called names. I don't care what you call me. You know, I don't care. Like I wish I cared. I honest to God don't. I care more for the salt in my next plate of food today. I've not even had one. So I care more for the sodium in my lunch or dinner than I care about an opinion. I'm telling you. So maybe you shouldn't care what people say. As long as you know you're not doing evil, you're not manipulating the system, you're not manipulating your gift, you're not taking advantage of people. What do you care what they say? Have you listened to people? Well, if you listen to people half as much as I do, so half of them don't think so good. It's like, what can someone who doesn't think so clearly, so well, so honestly do with a thought or an opinion? So I would suggest that you do not surrender yourself for fear, for care of what someone thinks of you. It's a gift. You have it. Learn to use it. And someone calls you. I had a neighbor whom I told a vision. She wanted to have a baby, but she said she wanted to have one baby. And then I had a vision about her, and in the vision she had two. So in the morning I woke up and I went to tell her, and she didn't call me a witch. She asked if I was a witch, and I thought it was funny. I'm like, well, that's the message. Let me know the update. And then eventually she told me she went for a scan, and she came home one time and she said, oh, I went to the hospital today. I'm like, did you have a scan? She was like, yeah. And I said, how many? And she gave me the sign too. And I started dancing. And I'm not sure. I think she didn't like it. No, I'm Christian. She's Muslim. I think she thought something of me. Yeah. I think she was happy, but maybe she didn't like the fact that I knew. Yeah. I thought I sensed it, but I could forgive her for it. Yeah. So I don't ruin yourself. Don't destroy yourself because of what people will say. Ha. Hi. How are you?
Hello.
How are you? It's good to have you here.
Good afternoon, Joyce.
What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Joe Morris.
What? Morris?
Morris.
Joe Morris. Go ahead.
Things manifest really. They do, because I can give a story of what happened. My wife works so well. When I had a dream, she came, I told her, are cheating on me.
Oh.
She said, what do you mean? I said, yeah, I think you are cheating on me.
Oh.
She said, why are you saying all this? I said, because God revealed it to me.
Yo.
She said, that right? I said, yes. I said, at your place of work, someone disturbing you? She said, yes. Uh-huh. I said, what do you tell the person? She said, I told the person I'm married with three children. Okay, so you can believe that dreams work, really.
Okay, so how did the conversation go? She wasn't really cheating on you, was she? Was she really cheating on you, like in the
phone?
No. Oh, okay. The dream just showed you that somebody else, like she had an admirer somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good luck to you. Thank you. One guy told me that he had a dream that his wife was cheating on him. It was a little horrifying, really. Particularly because he knew it. Yeah. And he was right. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
My name is Val.
It's good to have you here.
Yeah. It's one thing for us to have these revelations. Then there's another thing for us to have understanding and to be able to discern the message that revelation is sending to us.
So which of these is your issues? You don't understand it, or you understand?
Not an issue, but it's as a gift. You know, understanding it and knowing how to use it is one. Like for me, some months back, or let me say towards the end of last year, ordinarily, I don't just fall asleep in the evenings like that. I get active and all the stuff. All of a sudden, I was just tired. I just said, let me just go and rest. Then I lie down. I had a dream, revelation of an uncle who kind of, let me just put it somewhere, that I saw him, like he came to me for me to like insert drip into his body and all that. Uh-huh. So I held him, just a little cut. I saw him falling backwards. I had to pull him back, you know. So immediately I woke up and I prayed against every negative thing concerning him. I had to call him, you know. Mm. And I discovered that at that particular point in time, I was in Lagos here. He was in Abuja with his daughter. At that point in time where I was having that dream, they were in a fix in Abuja. The car got spoiled. The car was just jerking all over the place. It got stuck and all that. They were in a very lonely place. And aside that, he was planning to travel, you know. And that the message I got from the understanding I got from that message was that there's a danger that needs to be averted. You know, so I told him about the message I got and all that, and he said he was planning to sell a house and a land, all was not and all that back home. And I told him not to travel, that whatever that was going to happen, that he shouldn't travel.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, there was chaos in his home between himself and the wife. He was supposed to travel to spend the Christmas in Port Harcourt. But along the line, problem happened and the woman shifted from Enugu and came down to Abuja for them to spend the Christmas. So that problem affected. So I think when these messages come, it is one thing for us to understand it and to be able to put it into action. Everybody has that gift, but it's just for us to understand, identify.
So you didn't highlight the understanding problem here. You just told a story that you understood.
The understanding aspect was what the dream meant. What that dream meant. I had that understanding that it was danger, it was negative.
Okay.
Then immediately I prayed against it before. I now took action by calling.
Okay. I get that.
So that's how.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. So, can someone tell me the faith that prays over money and gives to beggars? Does it work? Hello. Hi, how are you? The volume of your radio set.
Hello.
The volume of your radio set.
Hey, good day.
Turn off your radio.
Can you know?
I can. It's good to have you here. Turn off your radio completely.
Okay. I'll turn it off.
I mean, I don't need to say it like five times. Okay. Nice. Let's go ahead. Tell us your name. You can go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Jason from Ikoro.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I actually had a dream last month.
Mm.
Yeah, I was in that dream and somebody I knew, I recognized a woman. She hit me right at my back. Mm. I woke up, prayed about it 2 days that I fell ill. The same thoughts started taking me. I fell sick. I went to the hospital. I treated. They treated me of malaria. And I came back, and the pain is still there. As I'm talking to you now, I've done everything for that pain to go away. It refused to go away.
Oh.
Up to you now. So I don't know what else to do.
But you're treating malaria. You seem to understand that that's not malaria.
It's not malaria because I've treated malaria. And the pain, after treating the malaria, the pain came back.
So what do you think you should do?
Yeah, that same spot.
Yeah. So the last caller was speaking about understanding the vision, and I think you understand, or do you not? You don't know what to think.
I really don't know what to
say. Wait. No, play it back again. You said you were in a, you know, you had a revelation, right? Where,
it's actually a dream, yeah.
Okay, you were in a dream, and then a woman hit you, and she walks away.
The woman hit me. And I started complaining to someone, and that actually the woman has been dead now for 2 years. And I started complaining to the son. See what your mother did to me.
Oh wait. The woman is dead. The woman who hit you is already dead.
Is dead, yeah.
So that means she hit you from that side.
Huh?
That means did she hit you before she died, or she hit you after she died?
No, after she has been dead. This dream happened last month. So the woman has been dead for more than 1 year now.
Okay, good. So
in that dream, immediately she hit me. I called the son. The son was present there. I said, "Why is your mother? What did your mother? What did I do to your mother? Why did she have to hit me?" So I came. I woke up. I prayed about it. 2 days later, I felt it. I went to the hospital to treat malaria, and when I came back, that same spot, that pain refused to go away.
How long have you been hurting from the pain?
This about 28 days now.
That's a solid month. Okay, let's talk to Lagos. Lagos is prop. But you understand what's wrong with you, or you still don't understand?
I understand. Well, I've been praying against it. I've been praying, fasting for it to go away. Refused to go away.
You know, it might take a minute, but it's going to have to go.
You have to go.
I mean, it must go. It's not like there are no options here. It's staying or it's going.
It's getting worse every day.
Yo, Lagos, help a brother out.
I'm beginning to feel dizzy now.
Uh-oh. Well, thank you for telling us. We're going to talk about it. Thank you.
Yeah, so I want somebody to, I mean, if anybody has a solution.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Lagos, Nigeria. Wow. Like, she's dead already. Oh, wow. So are there solutions that you are full aware of that might help a brother out? That's wild, huh? It's interesting because she's already dead. 0700-993-993. You have work on your hands. And then the final 993, the sunny side. How are you?
Good afternoon, Jerry.
Thank you very much for calling. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, anonymous.
Okay.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah. The brother should go for scan. Should go on scan stock.
Okay.
So just.
What if they say they don't see the anything?
You know, if he is owing the woman anything before she died, then he should try to pay. Or if he is owing any of our family,
uh-huh.
She just tried to pay that. So that's just it. Dream is real, and there are some that are not real. I do have a dream, and it do come to pass. And sometimes it's just something I use logic to reveal something to people. Like I can just see that maybe probably you are into something that is bad. For example, I have a cousin that is into adios, or these their national stuff.
Yeah, he's on the
so
street.
So sometimes, about 2 months ago, I told him to stop what he's doing. That anytime soon, Okada will be banned, and there will be nothing for him again. Like after just 2 weeks. They announced the ban of Okada in Lagos State in some areas, including where he is working. So he started looking for me up and down that I'm fetish, I'm this. I saw that probably maybe I'm a fortune teller or something. I was just laughing. Like he was trying to get in touch with me, but he couldn't. So he went to some of our families to tell them about what I did. So that I didn't do anything. It's just a common sense. I saw it coming, and I told you that's no. I didn't have anything. So I just told him my own view, and it happened. So, but most times I dreamt about my grandfather passing away, and another man again in my compound passed away the same day.
Wow.
So I saw it coming, and I tried to pray over it, but eventually it happened. And sometimes it will happen before I remember that I had a dream about it. So, but all we just need to do, if we have negative dream, all we need to do is pray about it. Then do charity, like give alms to people.
What do you mean give alms? Like how does that work for your dreams?
Like help. Yeah, it helps. But the other person that sent money that should pay on money.
And give it to beggars.
That's not it.
But that's what you're saying now.
You just, your intentions, you just have the intention that you want to give charity to people, probably maybe to beggars. Don't pray on the money. That's just like, how is it called?
In this context, are you giving money to people for redemption or salvation or help? Is that
No. You are just helping. Like, let me just give it to someone that is needy, like needy people.
But not for anything in return.
No.
Okay.
You just need to give charity every day, even when you are not in problem. You can give charity to people every other day.
Okay.
So then, if you have a dream, you can give it to people, like just to help you out in that for that negative thing not to happen. So when
that's what you're saying. You're saying okay. You're
I'm
saying that alms help you prevent evil. That's what you're saying.
Yes. Destiny can be changed. I'm Muslim. We believe in destiny, good and bad. If you have a bad destiny, it can be changed when you are prayerful and you are giving people, like giving alms to people.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, wow. Okay.
So if you have a bad dream, you don't tell people. Even if you dream on someone, you can just tell the person. Caution them. Don't tell them the exact dream, like the way it was presented rather. So you don't tell them.
Why?
Just caution them because it is bad. So you don't need to tell them. But it is good. You can tell them that, oh, I have good news for you. I had a good deal for you.
Oh, wow.
And just explain it to them. But if it is bad, because you can kill that person before the time comes.
Wait, but isn't the intention, isn't the intention of telling someone a bad dream is to also inform them of what is likely to happen and so they straighten themselves out?
You don't go into details. Just give them that, oh, you need to be careful on this and that. Your movement, what you do, this, do that. And be careful. Oh, yeah. But if you tell them, oh, I had a dream that you died, man, you killed that. Even if that person won't die, you killed the person before.
Yeah.
Because you'll be going out about that. Someone had a dream that I'm going to die. So even that, he can develop BP. The person can develop BP, then end up dying before the time.
This is unusual to me. Where I come from, we tell people exactly what it is. But maybe.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. No, all right. No. Wow.
If it is good, you can't tell them. Bad, you don't. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Nah, not okay. I think there's some logicality to it where you don't tell someone what's bad and you only tell them the good part. Then you say for the bad one, you give alms so that it can dispel the evil. So distant from my background. Okay. Hi, the volume of your radio set. You're on the sunny side. How are you?
Hi.
The volume of your radio set.
Hello.
Welcome. Tell us your name. Go ahead.
My name is John Bosco.
Okay. Go ahead.
I have an experience I want to discuss about the issue.
We don't have forever.
Yeah. Sometimes last month, I had a dream.
Okay.
And somebody came to me on my dream and wanted to stab me. So I fought him. I was able to combat him. But after the dream, I fell ill. Then I went to hospital. They said I have malaria. And I treated the malaria. Normal treatment, the malaria did not go. I went further again. I went for admission. They treated. After I left, after 1 week, the malaria is treated again. So later, I got better. But I have to resort to prayer and other things because I knew inside me it's not just about malaria, but malaria is presenting itself as if that was the cause. So as I'm telling you, even after 2 weeks, it's still coming again. And the way the malaria is presenting is not normal malaria. I will just stay and I'm having a lot of things that are as if I want to pass away. So,
okay.
Even up to now, I'm still treating it. I'm responding to a lot of prayers.
Okay.
So, that's my own case. So people can talk, I will start to.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you very much for calling. And you never stop praying. You know that, right?
Yeah, I never.
And do you fast?
Is it?
Do you fast?
Yeah, I've been doing my day, like I said, resorting to prayer. Yeah.
Do you fast? That was a direct question.
What I fast?
Fast. What? To stay away from pleasure.
No.
You don't fast. I'm going to advise that you do that.
Okay.
What's your faith? But I know people fast. People who worship the gods of hell fast. The Christian faith believes in fast. People believe in fast.
I do fast, but sometimes it might not be okay for my health because I might have some underlying health issues that might not, be okay for me to fast.
I think you should see a doctor, but I also think more than assuming, I think you should read about it. Read about your condition and then read about intermittent fasting. Maybe that's even the most ideal word, intermittent fasting.
Okay.
Yeah. It should even help with your health, but read about it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We're off on a break. We'll be right back to Sunnyside. My name's Joyce. Cheerio. In the world of science, there's something called alternative medicine where doctors use fasting to heal the body. Don't take my word for it. You can read about it. Yeah, intermittent fasting, where medical doctors, not traditionalists, medical, certified medical doctors, no, not in Africa even, in Europe, in America, use fasting to heal the body. Don't take my word for it. Read about it. Read about it. So there are some ailments that depriving the body of food, the body, so basically the theory is that you can deprive the body of food and the body would reset itself. That's just like the basic philosophy of what I think the doctors try to do with intermittent fasting. It's intermittent, so they give you a window where you don't eat, and then of course they recommend some certain supplements and your body practically heals itself. And that's a documentary that was published in 2017 by doctors, some group of doctors in America, and these were doctors who were into alternative medicine, and they used, I can remember for one, because I even spoke about it on radio, because someone said to me something about diabetes, and they use intermittent fasting to cure diabetes. And some people have used, for example, diets, and some get to cure cancer. Now, I think of evidently depending on the type of cancer and when you pretty much discovered the cancer. So there is much defense that can be put forward to how fasting and maybe the kinds of food can help heal the body. And this is not any theory that's new to your hearing. So I think you should just read about it and talk to your doctor and have some faith and do something different compared to what you have normally done. And yeah, the cultures, religions, traditions fast. Buddha, the Buddhist, Christians, Islam, Judaism, the Jewish people, witches fast. Like, fasting is not even supposed to. I think from what I read about the cultures or traditions or beliefs, the fast, it is not a religious theory. It is something else that religion adopted. Fasting is supposed to be something else. It's not religious. And unfortunately, we suppose that if it's fasting, it has a religious undertone, and that's our only reference to fasting. No. The adoption of it suggests that there is something else that fasting represents in the human body, or fasting puts the human body in a certain condition that allows the body to probably transcend the physical. I think maybe that's another way I'll put it. So please read about that.
This is your number.
Oh, it's 2 p.m. We're off on a break, and I'll tell you what I do every Mondays.
Let's talk
when we come back. We're right back. The Sunny Side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. 2 minutes past 2 p.m. So I was going to say, personally, on Mondays, I fast. I've given up my Mondays. And for no reason, actually. I mean, for no apparent reason, except that I think it's a good way to be sober. I've chosen the day to be sober. Maybe not necessarily sober, because I'm still down for a fight on a good old Monday. But no. Well, you kind of get it. I think that I don't have any reason. I just feel like maybe it's a good prep for the days I need to do it for 2 days or 3 days. But Mondays, I eat at nights on Mondays. And yeah, and I pray. Well, there was one time I would fast and not pray. And then I had a dream and I was told that if I fast, I should pray. So when I fast, I pray. There's sometimes that I tend to stay away from food for more than a day, but that's not any record worth submitting to you. I just do fast. So yesterday, exactly. So my Mondays are just not necessary. I don't have a reason. I just told myself, okay, I want to do this. That's all. There's no reason. Yeah, and I know that fasting is used to heal the body. Oh God, I know. So first, I even discovered that when I feel heavy, when I eat so much and I feel heavy, my brain slows down. I've told you this, given you this just before, at least I think I have. When I eat so much and I feel heavy. My brain slows down. I'm not my best when I'm heavy. And then what else did I realize? A sugar, my brain doesn't. And it's interesting. So I think what my brain does is my brain practically is talking right back to me. So when I consume what might be regarded as refined sugar, excessive sugar, my brain, yeah, just yells right back like, we don't like sugar up here. So I've cut down additional added sugars, as they put it. Yeah. So I do it, but it's probably at 0.5% at this point. Like, is I do honey, however. I do alternative sugars, fruits. I like sweets, you know. I do chocolates. I have my coffee with chocolates, but it has to be dark chocolates. I don't like the not so dark. It has to be like proper dark chocolates. My coffee's black. I prefer my coffee without milk. I do honey, however. I do dates. I like it sweet, but it's not going to be refined, and I would sacrifice the refined. So no sodas, none. I don't do that. Water and coffee is good. Water, coffee, and wine. And I'm the king of the world. Yeah, so, but just read about it. I think you should also listen to your body and see what works. But fasting, and even the brother who says his back is hurting, I'm not sure what you mean when you say you pray, but I think that there is a certain response required to retaliate when evil comes for you. So you're not without redemption. It might seem as though you might be without redemption. You're not. I think what might be missing here, and I'm not even sure, but I would honestly say that with a fair level of certainty that what's missing here is the retaliation. You have to retaliate. You have to. And you do that by praying and fasting. Didn't Jesus tell the servants? You remember when, the apostles, when they said to Jesus, oh, we've been trying to cast out that demon and he didn't go out. And Jesus is like, well, you didn't fast, that's why. Yeah, something like that. But fasting, even though it is supposed, well, even though it's suggested to be religious, is not. Because it reforms the body. It conditions the body for something. I mean, if witches fast, it tells you everything, right? Yeah, and the witches fast. The people in the occult fast. So it tells you that it's something. It's a door opener. I don't know what to call it then, but if witches are fast and it tells you, then it's not a Christian or a Muslim theory. And I did mention, any philosophy that can stand outside where you found it, it's not strictly for where you found it. If it's applicable outside where you found it, then it's a philosophy. It's a philosophy. Okay. I want to read a message here. Good afternoon, Joyce. Permit me to reintroduce the book, The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck. In the last section of the book, he spoke about grace extensively. He spoke about the miracle of serendipity, the miracle of unconsciousness and synchronicity. I believe that our unconscious knows more than our conscious. Some people survive the worst accidents ever, while some people will get hit by a bicycle and they're gone. One thing is certain, we all have that uncommon grace in us, but we often resist this grace. And oftentimes our resistance to grace is the root of the most mental illness. Our consciousness and our unconsciousness aren't in agreement. I will strongly recommend the book if you're seeking spiritual growth. His name is Ralph from Bagada. The book is titled The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck. I feel like I'm doing both government work, the Lord's work, Sunnyside work. I'm doing a lot of work. So interestingly, I want to believe that the first time I spoke about dreams on this show, like half the callers, maybe almost half the callers did not believe in dreams. Today, y'all are not featuring on the show, which I don't know how to feel about that. I wish you would still call and insist that you do not believe in dreams, but I guess I'm going to take it for what it's worth, right? It's another day where you're going to choose to not call me and I have to accept it like that. Some of you do not believe in dreams. And if you're wondering where all of this conversation kicked up from, it's David O's, I hear it's an adopted relative of his is reported to have said, well, he put out a post on social media saying, and I quote, the revelation was taken for granted. We're sorry. God, we're sorry. So one supposes that that there was a revelation about what they probably are dealing with today, and they took it for granted. That's the supposition. Okay, so I will speak to a few more people, and we have to go into language and interpretations. Let's talk about the pressure to be married, and if you feel any, what it is, and pretty much what informs the pressure. All right. my friend, will be the final caller on this particular story on Revelations Dreams.
Okay, great. Thank God. Now, two things.
No, you called me before, right?
Yes, yes. One of them is for the fasting, it rejuvenates the body. The bad cells are eaten up by the good cells, and it helps your well-being and makes you spiritually alert. Then for the revelation aspect, the question I want to ask is:
do you fast? Wait, don't rush this thing. Do you fast?
I do.
When do you fast? What seasons do you fast?
Sometimes I do 3 days in a month. Sometimes when we have programs, I could go one straight month.
Like 6 to 12 or 6 to 6 or 24 hours.
Yes, 6 to 3, 6 to 4. Sometimes 6 to 6, yeah.
Okay.
So another thing again is I want to ask this question. Like, most of us may believe in angels and all that. When you have like a giant ego, when you like see a giant ego, okay, like defending someone, and when you see three other average sized egos defending another, what does it mean?
Sorry, bring it back. Pardon me. Something ego what?
Like, like an angel or something.
Uh-huh.
Like an ego, a giant ego.
An ego, uh-huh.
Ego, yeah. Defending, like behind one person, behind a particular person. And when you see average size egos, maybe three or four behind another person, what does it mean?
Did you see it? Now you sound like a Joseph who saw the stars bow down before.
I have seen. I just need more clarity.
Okay, so you saw an eagle, and there are four eagles behind it.
For me, in particular, as a person, I identified one when one is behind you, one, a giant one behind you.
Why are you saying me? Is it vision about me?
Myself. I said myself.
Okay, so one eagle is behind you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Then I've seen this vision where three or four behind another, like average size. One, for mine, like I saw like a giant ego, then others I saw like average size. So what does it mean? Because for some you have...
Who are the others? What would that mean? Oh, so I guess we're running out of airtime. So I think I need to clarify. When you say others, you say for others. So did you find yourself like in a space, all at like in a moment, behind you was one big eagle, and then other people in that same space in that moment had eagles behind them? Or were these like different times where you saw yourself today, you had eagle, another time you saw someone else? I think I'm really trying to get that. What does an eagle represent? So I think first you need to find out what an eagle would represent in every world. And then, yeah, that pretty much just takes you home. If you figure out what, just the same way the man who says police people were chasing him, and someone says, well, in that case, that would represent evil forces behind you. You find out what the symbol, what the thing behind you symbolizes in your home. Biodun says, Joyce, if fasting is a philosophy, so also is prayer. Oh, absolutely. It's just, unfortunately, social conditioning supposes that prayer is religious. No, the witches pray too. Like, you pray to something above you. You make supplications to something, and that's really what prayer is. A form of transfiguration. I mean, the whole incantation that we see in the movies, when they do like the incantations, that is probably not necessarily, I mean, they call it incantations, right? In the witch's world, they call it a sorcery, but it's supplications being made, it would appear, a call for something greater. That is a philosophy. A call to something greater. Oh, yeah, a call for something great. But that's more like a call to something, so it's more specific. All right. One more. Like, the phone lines wouldn't stop. So, wait, I think today I have all the dreamers awake, which is pleasing, to be honest. I mean, there was a day where quite a handful of people didn't believe. I'm glad I'm speaking to believers today. Hello. Hi. All right, we're off on a break. We'll be right back. We segue to social pressure. It's Open Thought Tuesday. We want to talk about what pressures abound, whether family, society, outside of yourself, that might still force people, at least pressures that compel people to be married. What are these factors that force, or sometimes it's force people, other times it's shame people, because I think there's also this shame culture where people get shamed for not being somewhere at a certain time. Yeah, not having a car certain time, not having a house certain, not being married certain time, not not leaving your father's house certain time, and then your mom shames you or your father shames you, then they compare you to your mates. Let's talk about specifically the pressure to be married for both men and women. Does it differ? Is it the same? What pressures? And let's name them. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Open Thought on the Sunny Side with Joyce. Let's talk.
Let's talk. Nigeria Info. And now we are on our divorce series. The telephone lines for the women, 01465-7190. First November. So December is next month. I don't even know how I feel about just saying that. Must feel good. All right. Pressure in society to be married. What age? Sometimes it's even age. And maybe that's a function of... Nah, I think people still shame you for your age, though. I mean, people even good old shame people for being old. Someone sent me a message the other time. Someone was like, oh, Joyce, you're getting old now. I remember listening to you on Cool FM. I'm like, oh, I mean, what do you say to a person like that? It's like, whatever. Of course I'm getting old. And God, I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm smarter, I'm better, more intelligent. God, I'm better today than I was at 25. And I wouldn't go back. No, I wouldn't. Yeah, so I'm getting older and I'm getting better at this. Getting better at being Joyce. Let's talk about social pressures. Pressure to be married. Hello, Nigeria Info. Radio. You're on the sunny side at the volume of your radio set.
Hello.
Turn off the radio, lady. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
You're going to have to turn off that radio. Make it back. The sunny side. Good afternoon to you. We're Nigeria Info. Sorry, I lost you. Hi. Nigeria Info, you're on the sunny side. Nice, 9.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Joyce.
It's good to have you here. Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome. I'm on the line.
Thank you, Emmanuel, for calling.
I think as a young man or woman, I think... you have to be enlightened enough to know that nobody has to pressure you into doing any, I mean, taking any decision, especially when it comes to marriage, because marriage is always thing that you end up being responsible for the decision you make, irrespective of any, I mean, the pressure that came on you, you know, in order to take that decision.
But you see, and, okay. Okay, go ahead. I wanted to ask a question. I wanted to say, or maybe I should just go ahead and say it, that people think that they shouldn't be pressured, but they are pressured regardless. You see that? That's the society we're in.
Yeah, I understand. No, I think, for instance, I'm married, you know, and I have a child. And I've said when my child is growing at least like 11, 12, I'm going to tell him that whatever anybody tells you might not be the reality. You know, a time has come for us to start to teach our children that sometimes the picture the society paints is not the reality. You know, and then if our children are conscious of such statements and such a thing, then they won't want to absorb the pressure from the society that pushes them into some form of a discomfort in the future. You know, and then when I thank God, the young boys and girls of these days are beginning to do away with the lives our parents live in those days.
Okay.
No. Yeah. When from nowhere a mother or a father will bring a wife to you from the village and say this is who you have to marry, and then you seems not to have an option. You know, I can see that is gradually growing.
But I think that they have
down.
I think that they have done. They're going down. They're probably shedding the weight of the pressure of marriage off of themselves, and the pressure is somewhere else. I know someone who bought a Range Rover Sport because someone else in his age group bought it. Like, I know someone who bought a, you know the Range car? Yeah, I know a guy who bought it because he felt that someone who had it gave him a bad eye, and he went to buy.
I understand what you're trying to say.
Oh, okay.
It comes back to trying to teach our children that what the society thinks might not really be the reality.
Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I think there's one world and then there's the real world. Let's find out what you think. Mm-hmm. Sunny Side, the volume of your radio set. Thank you for calling. Tell us your name.
My name is Osav. Good afternoon, Josh.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay. I'll put it in two perspectives. One for the female and one for the male, right? For the women, it's just...
No, no, no. Tell us about the male first.
Oh.
Because a woman wants to know.
I can't start from anywhere now, Josh.
No. Start from the male first. Sorry.
Okay. For the men, I think men get more pressured by their parents more than the women. That's what I want to start from the women first.
Okay.
Most guys, I have so many of them as friends, relations and everything. When they attend some function, when they attend a wedding function, so like, the next thing that rings in their head is that, when am I going to get this guy? When am I going to get married? So most of them, the pressure, I see it more desperation than pressure from parents. Because most of them were like, I think I don't know if someone is listening to me. I will have said my name anyway. I wanted to use someone as an example that, like, just look for a husband for me. I just need to get your husband by any means, you know? So, in other words, so you see most of these guests of nowadays, it's just desperation by any means. I just want to settle down. It's only a few out of men that will say, okay, I'll get married when I like. Nobody should pressure me. But if you go in the reality, in the innermost heart of heart, they want to get married by all means. That one is desperation on their part. But men, there's a certain age you get to, you know. Now, for example, for me, for at the time, I was like, I'm never interested. I already have a daughter. So what is the pressure of getting married? Like, let me just, I want to be, just sometimes the pressure that comes with marriage is not easy. So I just want to be free and live my life the way I want it. But my mother would not let me.
So wait, if your mom didn't pressure you, you would probably not still be married.
I can't, to an extent, yes.
Oh, you are grateful that she pressured you because you're almost trying to, going left.
The good thing is that the woman I got married to, she's a very nice person. I'm happy with the marriage and everything.
Oh, okay.
If I'm going to marry to the wrong person, I will have regretted it.
Okay.
So because there's a certain age you get to, you, even you yourself, you see that all your mates, they are all settled, they have children, etc.
Are you asking me or are you telling me?
I'm telling you.
I don't know. You're the one I'm not looking.
I'm telling you. You'll be looking as if you're left behind. Or what is it that you're doing that at this age you don't want to
be? That's the problem. You're telling me. You can't be telling me I feel like I'm left behind. I don't feel left behind. I'm in front.
I'm not talking about you, Joyce.
Okay, that's why I asked you.
Forget my test of you when I'm saying you. I'm not saying Joyce. I'm saying like, the person in question will be like, okay, you're feeling left behind. You see your children. Even if after you're going to get married at a point, you'll be like, you want to see your children at old age. So the earlier the better and all those things. So unless you decide that you're not going to get married at all, that is a different ballgame. But if you're getting married, you.
So the pressures are self-imposed, more or less.
Yes, in most cases. If the women will be truthful to themselves, they will tell you that most, when they are attending the naming ceremony, weddings, and all those things, when they get to, they don't think right again. Just as it will be truthful to themselves, they will tell you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Like, ladies, did you hear that? He says, like, you guys don't think right once you're done with the wedding ceremony.
Hello.
Afternoon to you. Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joy.
Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually on the line.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one thing that many people do not know about marriage is that you are leaving yourself to join with another person and that you have to contend with his own self as well. But the Bible put it that you must be competent to have someone else to come with you. First, you must be morally equipped. Mold yourself with the word of God, with the standard of marriage. Then secondly, you must be in position of yourself, not if people adapting to other people's position. A man who cannot make decision of himself is not in position of himself. Like those people are saying, the parent persuaded him. You know that they are just managing like a rag. It's not so in marriage. The meaning of marriage is merriment. That you are happy and you want somebody to rejoice with you in your happiness. By the time you marry, you are suffering. It's opposite entirely.
So what do you think? Hold on a second. Can you answer the question? Can you please answer the question of where the pressure comes from? Some people feel pressure to be married. What you're talking about is the quality of the person who's getting married. In society today,
you are put to pressure to marry.
Where does the pressure come from? That's the question.
The pressure comes from your parents, from your friend, from yourself. But are you competent with what is required to make a man or a woman?
Okay.
Are you ready to bow?
Bow to what?
Marriage requires a lot of work.
Wait, who's bowing? You said bow. Bow to whom?
Yeah, I mean, you have to bow husband. Your husband has to bow to you.
Oh, maybe it's...
You have to bow to the relation of your husband, and your husband has to bow to your relation. So it's not just two people making up their life alone.
All right.
It's a family something now.
Okay.
And then that's why the Bible says that a man that cannot feed his immediate family is worse off than if he there. Am I right with you?
The problem with you quoting scriptures is you're speaking to people who are pagans or non-believers, because you could be quoting scriptures.
No, the Bible is not only for the Christians.
Yeah, my point exactly. They don't read it. So, I mean, everything you're saying, I've been wondering whether you're speaking to this society, because when you look at this society in comparison to what you're saying, these are like two different worlds. Well, you've done a fantastic job, and you're like a wise soul, so I hope they get to listen to
you. What is more important is happiness. One, by the time you are not happy with the so-called marriage, you are in jail or in the kingdom of darkness.
Okay.
It's not good for a woman.
Thank you. Or anybody at all, even for a dog. So competent before you be married. Are you competent? Where's the pressure coming from? Self-inflicted. If you have a personal story, I'd like to hear it. Hello, Nigeria Info.
Hello,
your line isn't good. I do apologize. I'm going to have to cut you off, and you're going to have to please try to call me back. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, afternoon. You have 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Sister, there is parental pressure to marry. There is peer and friend pressure. There is psychological societal pressure. Parents will tell you, marry so that I can get my grandchildren. The father will tell the man, be responsible, marry so that you can control my conglomerate company. In fact, they will look you when they have their own children. If you are coming out of them, they will look you with disdain. They will psychologically downgrade you. And societal pressure is when you see what is happening and what they are putting in social media and when you are seeing around. That's what prompted.
Okay.
That is what prompted.
We're off on a break. We'll come back to this, all right? And then I think I'd even like to talk about a specific angle, to be honest. Society's pressure. Is society capable of pressuring you or anyone? And if you have ever at one moment felt pressured by society, let's hear it. We'll be right back to Sunnyside. My name's Joyce.
This is an infomercial. My people, how na dey? On our correct TV station, Wazobia Max TV Lagos gets one important information we won't give on her. We dey carry our ongongo, come out from UHF 57, go into UHF 33. For all of now, we dey use antenna and aerial to dey watch us, make on a rush. We scan to UHF 33 from November 7, 2022. So that, on our go fit to enjoy all our better programs on top Wazobia Max TV. Wazobia Max TV, better entertainment.
We're back. All right. So societal pressure, is there one who, what's the pressure from society like? Intimidation, peer pressure, peer shaming. Hello.
Hello.
Afternoon to you. Tell us your name. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Helen.
Helen, it's good to have you here. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, my own story is not though society, they have their own pressure.
You have 2 minutes, lady. You have to hurry up.
Okay, yeah. So, but mine came from my personal own pressure, not from the society.
Oh, what was
because
that?
I got married at the age of 40 years. Even before then, I was fighting infertility. And then the pressure was all over me. I want to have a child and all of that. So, my own one was self-imposed pressure. Which even after the marriage, I regretted it. So I won't advise any woman whatsoever, whether your age, fighting any infertility or nothing. I don't think it's advisable to be under pressure. Always be yourself. That's what I have to say.
Well, I wish I had enough time to ask you about the kind of pressure that you regret, that, you know, the pressure you placed on yourself. And why do you regret it? Can you tell us that in 1 minute, 30 seconds?
Because I got married to a man who we don't have the same value.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, so when I'm talking one, he's saying two and all of that. So, and although eventually I got the child, you know, after 2 years, but the whole thing changed after that, because my primary priority now becomes my child. And then
the man.
Before you know it, I walk away from the marriage. So
have you left the marriage? Have you left the marriage?
Yes, I have. Now I'm alone with my daughter.
Oh, wow. Look, nice meeting you, Helen. We're going to have this conversation again. And thank you very much for being open about this. Yeah. I do appreciate it.
Bye.
Oh, Lagos, Nigeria. That was a good one. So she tells a fantastic story of her experience firsthand. But I must also say that it's about time we have to join the recording his story. And that would mean that I take a bow and I will see you tomorrow. So, yeah, the sun sets here. And today, as far as today goes, my work's done. My name's Joyce. See you tomorrow on Nigeria Info.